I guess the next story I'll talk about was one I call Passing the Buck. And this occurred when I was manager at Rock Springs, Wyoming. You see, I'd been there as a young engineer, and then I was transferred to Billings, Montana, and then Cutbanks, Montana, and then Farmers, New Mexico, and back to Rock Springs. And the last time, of course, I was the manager. Well, Mountain Fuel Supply was drilling a deep test over at what they call Church Buttes gas field, and it turned out to be 21,000 feet. Well, that's not an everyday depth. Although it's not terribly unusual, it's a little unusual for the Rocky Mountains. And so we prepared for it in advance. We got we equipped the truck with a new spool of cable, which was about 24,000 foot long, and we knew it would have a higher bottom hole temperature than normal, and we figured it would be somewhere around 300 degrees, maybe 325. So we heat tested all our tools up to 350 degrees, and I think we prepared two sets of tools so we'd have backups. We wanted everything to go smooth. And as it turned out, at that particular time, I only had two engineers, and we had, I had three engineers for three trucks. So I used to spell the engineers on days off, and that meant that I rode truck quite a bit myself. And when this well came up, it so happened it was my turn to go out there, but I'd just soon anyhow. I would have been out there anyhow, either looking on or else running the job myself, and it turned out I was running the job. Well, we went out and we had something like, I think about 5 or 6 services to run. We had a lot of them, which was unusual too. And anyhow, we went out and actually all the tools worked well. But we had one problem that bothered us every time we went in the well, and it was all what they called it was gas cut mud. And to explain that just a little bit, there was gas in the hole. You can appreciate this was a gas field, but it wasn't a lot of gas in the hole. But there'd be some gas in there, and down deep that gas is compressed by the high pressure at 21,000 feet. If you figure somewhere around, I think the with the mud weight they had and everything, I'm trying to think, it'd be something like 13-pound mud. I can't remember what the gradient is, but the pressure was probably up around 15,000 pounds or something at that depth. And the point is that the tools were built to withstand that, and they did. We went down there, and we'd run the logs. But what happened that we weren't aware of was that the pressure was so great it pushed the gas in the mud into the cable, and not just went through the around the steel wires, but it gets to the insulation on the conductors, and it's a good insulation, and it's not really porous or anything like that, but with extremely high pressure differentials, it can actually push that gas inside of the insulation, so it's between the insulation and the actual conductor. Well, yes, it did, and of course it doesn't affect you while you're downhole because the gas is an insulator too, so it doesn't hurt anything. But as you come out of the hole, the gas starts expanding, and it tries to escape. Well, it was pushed in through the insulation, but that wasn't an easy way to exit. And so what does it do? It travels up the cable. And as it travels up the cable, it gets up to an area that we call the torpedo, where we hooked our the steel cable hooks to what we call a bridle, and the bridle then hooks to a tool. And the device that hooks the cable to the bridle is what we call the torpedo. And it has a strong metal shell to give it the necessary strength, but inside of that, and also the protection to the wires inside, but inside the wires are just, they're insulated with rubber and Teflon, things like that, but there's no physical strength to the wires themselves. At any rate, the gas that travels up the cable gets to the torpedo, and when you get to the surface, all you have is on the outside of the torpedo is atmospheric pressure, and lo and behold, the gas expands the rubber insulation on the wire like a balloon, and it blows it up, and like a balloon, it blows up. And so there's a hole in the insulation. Well, we had run the first tool without any trouble, and we, on a deep well like that, you want to make sure everything is working, so we check the cable before we go back in the hole, make sure it's good. Well, of course, we found a leak, and so we immediately disconnect the torpedo and to examine it. That's the most likely place, and sure enough, that's where the leak was. Well, we chop off a little piece of cable, and then we build a new torpedo. That took a half hour or so, maybe 45, maybe closer to an hour. And we go back in the well with a second tool. Well, we run that job, and everything works fine, and we get out of the hole, and the same thing happens. Well, this time we were kind of looking for it, and there's nothing you can do about it because you open up the torpedo. In fact, I was out there as they opened the torpedo, and if you do it too fast, all the gas hadn't escaped, and it'll just continue to blow up your insulation until it all escapes. And we re-insulated the wires, and then lo and behold, it still blew it up, and it opened another hole up. So you have to let it sit there for about a half hour to get all the gas out of it, and then you go ahead and build another torpedo. Well, we had to have we always carried enough to build a couple of torpedoes, but we had to have some more sent out to us, and we continued to build torpedoes every trip in the hole, and we got the job done. But the point I wanted to make was that from the time I left home to go to the well till the time I got back home and got in bed, it was a full 80 hours. I was 72 or 3 hours on the well and another 7 hours or so at the office before I went out and after I got home. And the interesting thing is that you'd think I was absolutely bushed, tired out, but having gone that long without sleep, and I mean no sleep at all, I was all keyed up, and I got in bed. I took a shower and got in bed, and I couldn't go to sleep. I laid there for about, I don't know, 2 or 3, 4 hours before I finally went to sleep, and then I just crashed, and about 12 hours later I came to. So that's the longest job I ever made. I've been up lots of times for 40, 50 hours, but not for 80 hours. So I thought that was a good story.